I believe four reasons, is that correct? Four reasons of the importance of being faithful members. We're ready to start reason number five. Before we do that, let's read from Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, and have a short prayer. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask thy benediction upon this short class today. We pray that thou wilt be with us. Please bless the children and parents who have just, the parents who've just submitted their children to baptism. We ask that thy benediction would rest upon each of them as well. And please go with us throughout this day. Be with visitors in our midst. We thank thee for them. And we pray, be near to us now and help us as we probe a bit deeper into this important subject of being committed to the local church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, since it's been a couple weeks, I'll just give you very quickly then the first four reasons we covered. We said we bind ourselves with our families to a particular church. First, because of Christ's own example, that he cared intimately for local churches. Second, the example of the early Christians who bound themselves to local churches. Third, the apostolic example and practice. And fourth, local churches are the focus of the epistles in the New Testament. Instead of unbiblical individualism, they tend to write to local churches and to the corporate body of Christ. Now, number five, we bind ourselves to a particular church and faithful attendance in that church, because that is what the Bible tells us to do. And that's why I read Hebrews 10, 23 and 25 just now. Because the Holy Spirit here directs believers not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, nothing new. In the church, it's always been a problem that people don't realize what a local church body is, and they think it's optional to come or to stay away from church. And the apostle then goes on to say, exhort one another in this way to be faithful in church attendance, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So what he means to say is, it's not just the office bearers looking out and saying, oh, so-and-so's missing today. I wonder what happened. I'll check it out and talk to them and find out what's going on in their family, why they're not here. No. You are to exhort each other, he says, exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. When you consider that we really are in the end times and are need to live antithetically to the world is more urgent perhaps than ever before, how critical it is that every single week we get fed by the Word of God among the corporate people of God in the house of God. And so if the church really is to be a family, as the New Testament says it is to be, then the family has to gather together each Sabbath to worship God. Think about it this way. If you had, say, seven children, and you had supper hour, and everybody was there except one or two, but neither father nor mother knew where they were, you wouldn't just say, would you, oh, well, it doesn't matter if they're eating somewhere else. It doesn't matter where they are. If they like so-and-so's cooking down the street a bit better, that's fine. No, you'd say, where are they? They're part of our family. It's the same way with the church. Now, as I pointed out to you before, some months ago in a sermon, in Grand Rapids is the hardest city to maintain this in of any city in the entire earth. Because in Grand Rapids, there are more churches and more preachers coming to town to preach here in Grand Rapids than any other church has Reformed churches in the globe. English speaking, in South Korea, the city of Seoul would have more Reformed churches preaching in Korean than they would be in Grand Rapids. It's probably the only exception. But in English-speaking church cities, there'd be more Reformed churches by far and away, probably three times more than any other city on the globe. You tell people that you've got two or three or four Reformed churches in a city, they are amazed. When I tell people that there's more than 100 churches in the metropolitan Grand Rapids area that call themselves Reformed, they just shake their head in disbelief. It's just astonishing. So you see, almost any Sunday, there's somebody coming to town somewhere that I would like to hear. Sure. Sinclair Ferguson comes to town. Man, I'd like to go hear him. Great. See my old friend Sinclair? No. This is my family here. Yeah, but what? Why can't... Well, the family gets together. I can hear Sinclair on a weeknight. I can tune in sermon audio. I can get him in drops of notice. I can get him a Monday or Tuesday. The sermon he preached on Sunday. You can make up for it during the week. But on Sunday, you get together with a local body. Because that's what the New Testament tells us to do. Now, we also need to admonish people who aren't coming to church at all that they need to do so as well. We need to direct them to the soundest church in the area, wherever we may be. And that's something we all ought to feel responsible for. I was sitting next to a young lady in the plane some time ago, and she was from Iowa, and we were flying, I think, to Texas or something. She was flying home, I guess. And I asked her, got a conversation with her, asked her what church she went to. And she said, well, I'm not going to church. I said, you're not going to church. I thought you told me you were a Christian. She said, well, I am, but I don't think I need church to be a Christian. I said, did your parents bring you up? No, my parents brought me up going to church every week in Iowa. I said, so now you're in Texas and you don't go to church. She said, that's right. She said, I can maintain my relationship between God and my own soul. I don't need a church. So I said, but do you believe the Bible? She said, yes. I said, you really believe the Bible is the Word of God? Yes. Well, I said, if I can show you in the Bible where you need to go to church, that you do need to go to church, would you go? She laughed. She said, oh, of course I would, because I believe the Bible, but it's not in the Bible. I've never seen it there. I said, well... And I read her Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 25. She actually looked twice at it. She said, wow, I guess you're right, but I have no idea where I would go. I said, no problem. Tell me the city you live in. She told me. She said, give me your address, phone number. I said, I'll give you a call. I'll check out that area. I'll send you. I'm sure since you believe the Bible, you want a really Bible-believing church. I'll get you the best church in the whole area. I'll research it and send it to you. And then you promise to go there, right? She goes, okay. And I thought she probably wouldn't. But I emailed her. She emailed me back a week later. And she said, I'm going to that church. And as far as I know, till today, she's still going to that church. And she said, it was good for my soul. I'm glad I went. I was glad you were firm with me. There was a lady two pews in front of us, or two pews? Two seats? We were having not a bit of church on the plane, but a bit of religious talk. And she kept cocking her head back to us. I thought, I wonder if she's listening to us or something. But then the lady who's living down in Texas wrote me and she said, because after we got off the plane, the two of them were talking together earnestly. And I walked by and she said, you know, that other older lady that was sitting two rows in front of us, she stopped me when I got off the plane. She said, "You know what that man was talking to you about there, back there in the plane? Every word he said was truth. And he was like a lion and a lamb to you roll up into one." So, whatever. I was pretty firm with her indeed. I said, "You've got to go to church." And you just tell people, you wouldn't go for a whole week without eating, would you? Why would you try to skip a week of church? This is your one day to store up spiritual food for a whole week. This is God's provision. You belong in a body that can hold you accountable. We all need to be accountable to the family and the corporate body of Christ. Now, this is the more needed today, and we need to emphasize it the more today, because we live, particularly in America, in this incredibly rampant individualistic society where every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And there's no accountability at all. And everybody just thinks, I can do what I want to do. This is my freedom. Now, that's a particular problem in America, I say, because even culturally, this is the way we're trained to think. In many other cultures, it's very different. You go to China, people follow rules in China because they think in terms of the group, the whole nation. That's a problem. When you lose patriotism, when you lose a sense of collectiveness in a society, it impacts the church as well. My brother, who's been in China a long time, was telling me this story that he, and this is typical of Asian people, he was saying to a young lady, "The government says you can only have one child. But what happens if you had two?" Well, she said, "Well, we can only have one." Yeah, he said, "But what happens if you had two?" Well, she said, "We can only have one." And he said, "I went back and forth with her six times. The thought of the possibility of doing something the government said you can't do, she couldn't even entertain the thought. She said, 'You don't understand, Mr. Beakey. You can only have one.'" See, thinking corporately. Now, I'm not saying that's a terrible example because it's a terrible rule. But in the church, we work together as a family seeking to exhort each other to be faithful to the Word of God. And you can't do that if people don't even show up in church, or they skip church, or they don't come two times on a Sabbath as they promised to do before they made confession of faith. You're breaking your promise as well. Number six. We bind ourselves to a local church because of the benefits we receive from being a member of it. These benefits help us in our Christian walk. They protect us, they keep us, they encourage us in every way. Ministers and office bearers in the church are God's gift to you. Ministers in particular are Christ's under-shepherd to shepherd you, to assist you in your trials, as your counselors, as your friends, to protect you from error. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12, Hebrews 13, 7 and 17, 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3. And the New Testament says, the elders who rule together with the pastors serve also as a bulwark to guard you from going astray. This is a gift of God to you. And you receive benefit also from fellow members who love you and who serve you when you're needy, when you're sick. They pray for you. Your name is in the bulletin. They bring you meals. They call you up. They visit you. They ask you questions. You have a family. You have a built-in family in the church of God. They will rejoice with you when you rejoice. They will weep with you when you weep. They will walk side by side with you, and you get the benefit also of having the freedom to care for other people, weep when they weep, rejoice when they rejoice. All the benefits of real and abiding friendship accrue to you when you're bound together in one family. And of course, then you get the wonderful benefit of a continuing ministry where the Word of God is expounded through a Bible book, like we're doing right now through Romans or Revelation. Or, you get the benefit of a continuing series through the Heidelberg Catechism, so that you could hear all the major doctrines. You miss a few of those, you become disjointed. You miss a section of Romans or Revelation. You miss what you need to hear. You get the benefits of a church membership that include freedom to partake of the sacraments, baptism, and Lord's Supper. Well, what a joy it was this morning seeing this baptism. I particularly thought of Malachi and Carolyn as they got the handshakes of all the consistory members after church this morning. And what a bonding feeling that must have felt for them. You could see the smile on their faces. They're all the way from China. This is a lonely place for them. And here's all these brothers wishing them well. And now, of course, we need to follow that up. We need to visit them. We need to have them over to your house. Share a meal with them. Get to know them. They're wonderful people. Bond with them, you see. This is all part of the benefit of church membership. But their children are baptized. They'll never forget that as long as they live. Here in this church, at this part of their life, these children were set apart by God. Lord's Supper. What a blessing the Lord's Supper is to gather around, to commune with God and Jesus Christ and commune with His people. What a joy in a local body. There's nothing like it. When I go away, like this past week, going to England and to Russia, I can get back up on this pulpit. I just feel at home. This is my church. This is the local body. It's wonderful to be back in our own local church. That sense of belonging. You see, the local church is the provision of an arena in which we may exercise also our spiritual gifts and show our love to one another. John Calvin put it so beautifully. Calvin said this, God hasn't given all gifts to any individual so that every person has his own gifts to give in the local body and all need one another. Isn't that beautiful? You don't get that by visiting churches, other churches. And when you do, what happens, and you see this all the time, it's like a broken record. Somebody goes to check out another church. Of course, the first time. Everything's new. They haven't heard that preacher for 26 and a half years. He's brand new. He's fresh. You know, new broom sweeps clean. First year you hear a preacher, actually. First 52 sermons you hear, wow, fresh, wow, what a great preacher. Oh, so they get attracted there, or they, oh man, they get surrounded by people, social benefits, and before you know it, boom, they're over there once every Sunday. And then, well, there's a complaint about this church, and something's wrong, and then they withdraw from the choir, they withdraw from Sunday school, and then they're over there twice a week, and then they're got membership here, under supervision here, and they're over there. And step by step it goes until they're gone. And then usually, not always, but usually, they're there a couple years, they find things wrong there, and it's always easier to leave a church a second time, and they leave again, and they become church complainers. The kids hear the complaints about these different churches, and the kids grow up, and often they're not dedicated to any local church because they don't have any roots anywhere. So think about that. I'm just speaking pragmatically. Think about these things. Be grateful. Be grateful when you have a church that brings the whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God, does not commit spiritual adultery with the truth, and stick with that church and abide with it. And when it has faults and flaws, you be part of the solution and help the church along. Number 7. We bind ourselves to a local church, even if there may be several sound Reformed churches in our locality, because God in His providence has placed us in one church family and not another. In God's providence, probably half of you were reared in this church. You got catechism from kindergarten on in this church. All 13 years you got catechism from kindergarten through 12th grade was in view that you would take over the baptismal vow of your parents so that when you became an adult, 18 years or so, you would join the church. The goal wasn't that you'd take 13 years of catechism, then you'd skip a couple years and debate, well, should I, shouldn't I? And no, as long as that church brings you the truth of God, that's the home you should naturally feel at home with. Generally. Now, if the church doesn't relate to your spiritual needs at all, then there is a place when you grow up that you could visit another church and find a church where you feel that the Word of God is brought more faithfully. But I don't recall a single person who's ever left this church who's told me that the Word of God was brought more faithfully in another church. It's always for some secondary reason that people leave the church, it seems. So, when God's put us somewhere in providence, we don't leave there lightly. The Puritans used to say it this way, if you're not sure that God is calling you to another job or to another city or a minister to another church, you stay where you are because that's where providence has put you. So those are seven reasons that you can train your family in, not just yourselves, but your family and your children, to make them strongly committed to local church ministry where their roots go deep and they learn to love the church of Jesus Christ. Now, that brings me then to a second section of this subject, which are the responsibilities of faithful church membership. And since our time is already gone, I don't think it pays to really start this. We've got about 2 minutes. If I can entertain a question, if anyone has a question before we close. Yes, Bob. Great question. When you get married, of course, you have to make a decision. If two people come together from different churches, what church are you going to go to? And a lot is involved in that. I think, number one, very early on in the relationship, this should be talked about seriously and considered. And certainly, the very first thing that one should do is to ask before the relationship begins, is there no one from the local body to become involved with that could be a possible life mate? Now, if you feel there's not and you have to go outside the local church, that can work. But it needs to be resolved early on by attending each other's church and deciding which one is most true to the Scriptures. If you get in a difficult situation where you both think they're both true to the Scriptures and they're very, very similar churches, well, then a decision has to be made between the two. If, however, the churches are quite different from each other and both prefer their own church, you've got potential for a huge problem if you don't see eye to eye on that in marriage. Now, generally speaking, the church that is the stronger in terms of the of being conservative and really feeling deeply about its convictions is the one that would probably be preferable to go to, because the person in that church will have much deeper convictions usually about what the truth is or where they're going. See, what a lot of couples do, I've seen this over and over again, is, okay, one, say the young man is from our church and the young woman is from a liberal Methodist church. So the young woman comes to our church, feels uncomfortable with the head covering, uncomfortable with how conservative it is, uncomfortable how long the sermons are. And, well, they're going to do something in between. So they church shop around the city and they find something in between. Well, that's fine for the young woman. Her conviction's not very deep anyway. But for the young man, there's still many, many things that happen in that church that really bother his conscience. He's not at home. He feels uncomfortable. And that in marriage actually comes to the foreground and complicates a lot of decisions and brings a lot of problems and tensions. So that's why I say generally it's better not to just kind of go in between, but generally better to come to the church where the more conservative partner is. That's a bigger adjustment than for the other one, but it's actually an easier adjustment than to go the other way, because that violates the conscience in many things. Those are just some practical thoughts on that. There's a lot more to say on that, but now our time really is up. So let's pray. Gracious God, we ask thy blessing upon this time together, and we do beseech of thee to use these two talks that have been given to instill within each of us a reminder of how important the local church is as a manifestation of the body of Jesus Christ. So help us to love also this church and to treasure its well-being and to seek its well-being in every way and to participate fully as a member of this church family. And as we go forward, Lord, and in coming weeks, we look at the responsibilities of church membership. Help us as parents to teach these things to our children as well, so that this teaching doesn't just rest with office bearers, but that parents themselves may teach the children how to respond to church and how to feel their responsibilities to the local body of Christ. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.